So Wafer's business is all about focusing on the Southwest Forest, which is a pretty wonderful job to have for me personally and also for the organization. So we just focus really closely in on what's happening in the Southwest Forest and what we can do as an organization to best protect them. And that means protect them as well as possible on the ground and also as securely as possible for the long term. We're a member-based organization. We've been around since 1990, and member-based means that we represent other groups. So there's about 27 of them, including big groups, Conservation Council of WA and the Wilderness Society, and then 25 smaller local environment groups right throughout the southwest. And in representing them, we look at what are like the local issues where that we can really amplify and help those member groups to look after their local areas of forest. And then also how can we draw all of these interests together and face them at the state government and sometimes other decision makers and say, we need to do better with policy and with law to really protect these last remaining really precious areas of native forest that we have in the southwest.
Despite the government's decision to cease native forest logging by 2024, there are still quite some significant issues at hand, such as the limited proposals around thinning, fire management, no caveats around preventing new mining projects, as well as the lack of provision in the precise locations for any new forests. Can you break this up into the core issues? Now the celebration, I guess, of the win has passed. What are we dealing with at the moment?
That's a really important question. We're certainly by no means finished. The first thing that we needed to get was a policy breakthrough so that the state government was facing in the same direction as the community and agreeing that we needed to end native forest logging and start making all those really necessary changes so that we're properly protecting those forests. But what we're doing now with the community sector and what the state government are doing is looking at how that's actually going to be done through the next 10-year forest management plan. So the detail about how enduring and how tangible those protections are going to be is going to be set out in that document that defines how forests are going to be managed for a whole decade. So it's incredibly important that those details are gotten exactly right. At the moment, it's with the EPA, and we're meeting with them this week, and we're engaging really closely, seeking a full environmental assessment of all of the management actions that the Forest Management Plan will contain. The reason that that's so important is that some of those things will be about fire and how fire is being introduced into forests, so with prescribed burning, and also this proposed thinning program. That thinning could become really problematic if it's not managed well. The draft Forest Management Plan written by the Department of Biodiversity Conservation and Attractions says that they might thin up to 8,000 hectares per year. Now that's 1,500 hectares more than is currently being logged. And it doesn't say where, it doesn't say how, it doesn't say what size trees those are going to be. It doesn't limit it to immature regrowth and mine site rehabilitation as it should. So there's some really serious outstanding problems there. We think that we can deal with those problems still from a community perspective, but it's going to be about how well, those conversations go with the department, with the EPA, and with the state government, and really the power that the West Australian community has always had to stand up for native forests and to protect them has been because of how vocal and how passionate and how well-educated individuals and then groups within the community have been. And that has to be maintained. So we're doing a huge amount of work just staying connected to the community with heaps of events and our socials and website, and we really encourage people to stick with the campaign because we've got that policy breakthrough, but we're not there yet.
I'm assuming that people who have subscribed to the mailing list will have, I guess, an update of what happens with your meeting with the EPA this week.
We will be sending out some info, and then we've also got a whole lot of events this week where we'll be talking more about some of these things. So people can totally contribute and stay informed either online or in person, whatever suits them best.
So, touching to the potential new mining of the Northern Jarrah Forest, which were found to be only of a few of our ecosystems that are at risk of collapse due to our current drying climate. Sadly, the government seems to be still open to considering these proposals from mining companies such as Rio Tinto. WAFA yourself, such as other groups, are still rallying against this proposal, which would cover 107,000 hectares of forest between Perth and Collie if it were to be approved. Can you explain a little bit about what is going on there, what you're doing, and what would be the immediate cost if it were to be approved?
So the other really major sort of unfinished business after the policy breakthrough is that the government is committed to creating at least an additional 400,000 hectares of new national parks, which is incredible. It's a massive area and a huge win. But all of those areas are concentrated in the southern forests, so Bunbury and south all the way down to Walpole and Denmark. And that's always been the case in WA. When we're able to create new national parks, almost without fail, they're in the southern forests. The southern forests are spectacular. It's all the Carrie and Tingle and a lot of that really wet Jarra, beautiful areas that really need that protection. But what happens is that the state government finds it more or less impossible to create new national parks where Alcoa has its massive mining lease. And it was granted that mining lease through a state agreement act, a special piece of legislation between the government and a company in 1961. So for 63 years, WA has been suffering under this state agreement act that was signed by a government in the 1960s, obviously in completely different times to today's, and promised them almost unfettered access to the bauxite for up to 80 years. So that's meant that the government has been really anxious about approaching Alcoa and saying, hey, look, we actually want to make some changes to your lease area. We need to create some new national parks and deal with the arising issues, you know, with water and climate and biodiversity, community, cultural values. But governments have been incredibly reluctant to do that. Now we're in a really important position where the lease is up for renewal. That state agreement provided leases in 21-year chunks, and the current 21-year lease is expiring next year. And so negotiations will begin between the state government and Alcoa formally later this year to look at, if we are going to give you another 21 years, what's it going to look like? So this is the opportunity for the community to step in and say, hey, look, it's been a really long time. A lot's changed since 1961, and we need to protect these forests for climate and biodiversity, water, cultural values, future generations. And so that's what's happening right now. And there's a huge amount of noise, there's a huge amount of pressure, and it's very much reaching Alcoa and it's very much reaching the state government. So in order to get to the next stage, where companies like Rio Tinto and Tellupac, who are now arriving on the scene and saying that they also want a piece of the Northern Jarra forests, we need to step in front of Alcoa and have those national parks created. And then companies like Rio Tinto and Tellupac and others will know that the Northern Jarra forests are off limits. But at the moment, they're open to whichever mining companies want them, because we don't have the proper land categories there in national parks and nature reserves to say these forests are worth more standing. The WA government has recognised that, and we've protected them for future generations. And that's the work that we need to do.
What's the realistic timeline if you were to secure the protection of those forests?
Well, the first thing that has to happen is during the negotiations, the state government needs to say that they are limiting the lease area. So instead of all the way from Perth to Collie, 720,000 hectares, massive area that's been effectively handed over to a foreign mining company, the state government needs to say, we're altering that and we're massively reducing the amount of forest that you can have access to. And it needs to only be on areas that have already been cleared, that are already severely degraded, because all of those intact ecosystems are too important. We can't lose any more of them. So that'll be at the end of this year that those negotiations are formally occurring. And then in the process of developing the final mapping for the next forest management plan, that'll be when the community and traditional owners and state government are really looking at the fine detail of creating the boundaries and the land categories for all of those areas. That'll probably be occurring for the next year or two, I'd say, and the process hasn't even been properly established yet. We're still waiting for the state government to acknowledge that that's something that needs to be done for the Northern Jarra Forest particularly. But it's all very live right now, because it's right now that we're demonstrating through state government and the processes of developing the forest management plan and beginning those negotiations with Alcoa. And of course, also we're standing in the way of Rio Tinto and Telupac in the mining warden's court at the moment to prevent them becoming another really serious obstacle to protection. Those things are all right now absolutely critical, that we demonstrate community power and capacity, and the fact that, you know, West Australians know that this is unfinished business. Sure, we got a huge breakthrough and we're grateful for it. It was critically important that we end native forest logging. But our mission is actually to create new national parks and protect those forests right across the whole area from Perth to Albany, in secure protected areas. And we're going to have to keep working until we achieve that.
As you touched on earlier, WAFER has existed for 33 years now. And thanks to you, we have been able to save some of what is only a fraction of our native forestry to what was here before. However, as long as there is industry and we have a government that wants to generate a profit, the forestry and wildlife will remain at threat without those such as yourselves advocating for its protection. So what actions and events do you have going on at present that people can get involved with on a grassroots level?
There's plenty. It's a really exciting month, actually. So next week on Friday the 11th at Moore's Building in Fremantle, really beautiful space, we're going to be launching the Forests Atlas, which I'm so excited about. It's like a absolutely stunning, beautiful big book full of maps and photographs and stunning artwork that really celebrates the incredible beauty and diversity and complexity of the forests. With a particular emphasis on the Karri and the Jarra and the Marri forests all the way from Perth down to Albany. And it's got a whole lot of Uncle Noel Nanup's really beautiful words woven all the way through it, really celebrating and deepening that connection and education of people about the value of the forests and the wildlife from that really long-standing and ongoing Aboriginal connection with this stunning country. So that's going to be on Friday next week, Thursday next week, the 11th of May at the Moores Building in Fremantle. Really looking forward to that one. The tickets are available and pre-sale of the book is also available on our website and through our socials. And then on the 23rd of May, which is a Tuesday, we're going to be at Parliament House for a rally and handover of all of the postcards that have been signed at Black Cockatoo crisis screenings over the last 6 months or so. Really bringing to the fore the need for us to protect the remaining habitat for all three species of black cockatoos who are all facing extinction within our lifetimes if we don't turn things around and protect their habitat, that's forest and woodland habitat. And so that's, 23rd of May at Parliament House, really encouraging people to come along and also to register if they're willing, because that helps us to design the theatrical element of it. We're going to be putting together a massive cockatoo in front of Parliament. And if we know how many people we've got confirmed, it really helps us to put that art piece together. So hope people can register, and that's also through our website and on our socials. And then we also have regular co-work days with our incredible event and volunteer manager in our office in City West, Laurie's House. And that's an opportunity for people to come together and work on banner painting and T-shirt printing and helping with all sorts of things that are happening week by week. Lots of opportunities. And we also have regular tours and camps. We haven't got one on the books at the moment, but it'll be coming soon. So we encourage people to just follow us on socials and sign up through our website so that you can get all of those updates and be invited to all the events.
And what is your links for socials so people can follow along that way?
We're WA Forests on Twitter and WA Forest Alliance on Facebook and Insta, and wafa.org.au is our website.